Hi, everyone. We are Emily Newstrom and Megha Chandna, and we are here to discuss the use of temporoparietal fascia grafts in rhinoplasty. A graft is a living tissue surgically transplanted to a recipient site. An autogenous graft is a graft of which the donor and recipient is the same individual, and they can be used in procedures like rhinoplasty for filling in minor defects, nasal contouring, or camouflaging underlying bone or cartilage. Temporoparietal fascia, or TPF, is a thin, pliable tissue in the parietal region of the scalp. It has been increasingly preferred in rhinoplasty over synthetic materials due to its lower cost and lower infection rates, and over autogenous grafts from other regions due to its greater mobility, vascularity, location within the same operative field, and well-concealed donor site scar. We will now discuss some common indications for TPF graft use in rhinoplasty, summarizing a bit from the literature and including an example for each based on one surgeon's experience. The first indication we're going to cover is saddle nose deformity. Usually caused by trauma or prior nasal surgery, cartilage of the septum can break down, collapsing the airways and causing the nose to lose its shape in the middle, creating a pug nose or boxer's nose. We have a 54-year-old female with complications from a prior sinus surgery, resulting in loss of smell and saddle nose. The top image shows the process of harvesting of the TPF from behind the patient's right ear, which will then be covered with her hair. The bottom shows her results after internal reconstruction and placement of an implant that's now wrapped in TPF for added external support. The next indication is for thin skin, which becomes a problem when underlying cartilage grafts becomes visible underneath it. This is what happened to our patient, a 49-year-old female who came in after her third rhinoplasty with an obvious piece of cartilage about to puncture through the skin. So TPF was used to provide cushioning and camouflage it. Her photos show the technique for attaching the TPF graft at the tip of the nose with sutures and rolling it up underneath the skin, resulting in a softer bridge and nasal tip without the visible cartilage. Next is radix repair. Sometimes the nasal bones start too low beneath the forehead, putting a small divot between the structures that creates the illusion of a nasal hump. A common rhinoplasty mistake is shaving down the hump too much when instead putting a small rolled piece of fascia like TPF in the divot can smooth out the nasal appearance. This is what was done for our patient, a 36-year-old female who desired a smaller-looking nose, which was accomplished with very mild reduction of the bony hump, along with a simple TPF graft placed in that divot. The last indication we'd like to discuss today is dorsal augmentation. The bridge of the nose, or dorsum, can be either over-resected or naturally too small and require augmentation with cartilage. And covering that cartilage with the more mobile and softer TPF provides excellent contouring. This 44-year-old female with two prior rhinoplasties had a small dorsal concavity that was augmented using cartilage from her ear with an overlying TPF graft. Some trends I've noticed from our patients and throughout the literature is that TPF is particularly useful for revision surgeries because its protection against further inflammation and scarring and ability to correct very subtle defects. I also found that while there are many papers reviewing other TPF uses, none reviewing TPF as a graft in rhinoplasty specifically have been put together since the 90s, and studies with larger cohorts and outcome data are essentially non-existent. To summarize, TPF is an extremely versatile tissue well-suited for use as a free graft in rhinoplasty, and more studies regarding TPF utilization are certainly needed. Thank you.